97.5, The Fanatic.
What up?
Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be Jumanji for tips.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Yes, it is. What's going on, Philadelphia? Joe Torti here with you. 97.5, The Fanatic. Hot on the heels of another crossover show with Devon Gibbons. Always enjoy that. Nat Marlowe's producing. And
what up?
We'll continue the Sixers conversation as we roll on until midnight. But as we alluded to, I wanted to talk about something that's kind of been weighing on me a little bit here. And it's something that we've been talking about at length, considering Shushgate, right? We've had some time to think about it. Yeah, we've all been in those fights where way too much happens way too soon. You know what I mean? Where if we had more time to think about it and some space to breathe, you know, from the other person, then our conversations wouldn't go exactly the same way. You know, we would back up and, you know, say, hey, all right, you know what? This went a little far. You know, I don't think that we necessarily need to go down this brutal path that we've gone of cutting each other down and things like that, right? I started to think about this with the Philadelphia 76ers when it turned into Al Horford and Joel Embiid and the Sixers themselves versus Sixers fans. And my goodness, the takes and the opinions and the calls and everybody was even close to the Sixers at this point, whether you're a fan or in the media or whatever, had felt some kind of way about this. There were people that were talking about how disrespectful it is to Sixers fans who paid their good money to be shushed, as if booing doesn't have an inherent level of disrespect attached to it, right? Painted the Sixers as like this soap opera, right, where there's not a whole lot of substance, but as long as there's drama, then we can really like soak it up and drink it in. And then, of course, came the Marcus Hayes article in the Philadelphia Inquirer that I alluded to when I was talking to Devon and you guys as well. I found myself considering a question that I didn't think about, right? I didn't think that I would be going down this path. But it really is like almost an existential question in the lens of this Sixers team that really makes you consider your sports fandom overall in 2020. And that is, does your relationship, and by you I mean personally, I mean you as a collective, as part of the fans, I assume that most people listening consider themselves Sixers fans or Eagles fans or Flyers fans. Does your relationship with individuals on the team matter, right? Because you got Joel Embiid talking about, you know, going potentially and teaming up with Jimmy Butler in Miami, then going back and saying that it was a troll and it was for nothing and everything else. Right. And if you can't, you got to be able to dish it out. And you, if I can take it, you can too, blah, blah, blah. Right. This is what Marcus Hayes said about Joel Embiid. And I want you to tell me, one, if it's true, and two, if it matters. Right. This is who Embiid is. It is who he always has been. A mercenary millionaire temporarily transplanted to Philadelphia to maximize his revenue stream. He cares as much about Hulu and Under Armour as he does about the franchise and the fans that employ him, but he became beloved nonetheless. How? Here's how. Embiid paid Philadelphia an absurd brand of lip service for the two seasons he missed to injury at the beginning of his career. He's kept shoveling it in for the 4 years since, until Sunday night. Then he dropped his mask. First of all, wow. Scathing from Marcus Hayes there on Joel Embiid. Scathing in that it, you know, assumes duplicitousness and deception and that he's been fake for this time, right? But forget that part of it. I think that it's impossible for us to litigate here on these airwaves whether that part's true or not. So I say we just leave it alone. Agreed? Let's talk about the other part, though. That Embiid is a guy who's here in Philadelphia for some length of time. We don't know what that is. Focused on maximizing the amount of money that he can make. And maybe he does want to be dominant, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he wants to dominate for the Sixers only. And that is his relationship. Every one of the things that he does that, you know, contributes to the team is also something that contributes to him specifically. I don't think that that's that far off. I don't believe that in that particular case, anything is incorrect there. I also don't know that it necessarily has to be a bad thing. For example, there are teams that make trades for players that are on expiring contracts, rentals, right, for the postseason. And I never have any problem with teams that do that. Because there are some people that say, this guy is only going to try to get a big-time contract somewhere else. And if that's true, then that means that he probably had a pretty good time for the team that traded for him, right? You have to put up a significant amount of, whether it's numbers or contributions or whatever it is, to become attractive to someone else. It's the same thing with people talking about Ben Simmons having his eyes on Los Angeles. Yeah, but for him to get big-time money from the Lakers or the Clippers or whoever else out there, you would think that some good stuff has to happen in between now and then in order for him to be attractive to those teams. I think my personal evolution has changed as player movement, especially in the NBA, but really it's happened throughout sports. As player movement has increased, naturally, I think that we become more loyal to the teams rather than to whoever our favorite player is. I think that's unfortunate, by the way. It's an unfortunate side effect of how that's happened. Because you can go one of two ways, right? You can either be a fan of a player, but there's a great chance that player bounces around and is on a lot of different teams over the course of their careers, right? So you're just following that player around. Or you're the fan of a team, and that team's roster changes over more quickly than it ever has at any point in NBA history, right? As far as I'm concerned, it's healthy for us as fans to just look at this and say, you know what? I just want whatever's best for the team. I don't need, you know, this idea that all of these guys who are drafted during the process are our babies or our children or our friends. I think that's ridiculous. It's an insane way to look at it, considering the fact that any one of these guys could either be traded, could leave, could do whatever they want to do. Instead, much more enjoyable for us to look at this as what it is. An arrangement that's more than likely temporary, and so we should all do the best that we can within the arrangement. That's to say, for Joel Embiid, if he becomes the best player that he could possibly be, that's tremendous for us as fans. If he's performing well, we support him, support the team, pour everything that we have into being fans, then I think that arrangement works out for everybody. Embiid gets what he wants, and it's not just Embiid, it's any player, but Embiid in Shushgate happens to be the one that's on, you know, center stage at this point. And then, of course, it makes sense for us because if Embiid and these players are performing at the highest levels, the Sixers give themselves a chance to be right there at the end for an NBA title. Doesn't need to be more than that. Now, there's a whole generation of Sixers fans for whom this sounds ridiculous. The people who grew up with Iverson, the people who grew up with Dr. J, the people who had a team centered around a superstar that was there forever. It's just not the way that the NBA is. Think about it. Is there any better story than LeBron James getting drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers, the closest thing that he would have to a hometown NBA team, and just staying there forever? Right? Of course that makes the most sense. If LeBron James is going to bounce around the league and choose the best situation for him, as well he should, as well within his rights, then this idea of a franchise superstar that's going to stick with the team forever, and therefore we should care about what the relationship is like with this guy and the fan base, that seems really short-sighted to me. Those days are over. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Therefore, I don't think that Shushgate's a big deal at all. Do you? Do you think that this is a story that has deserved the amount of attention that it's received? Or is this something that's just overblown in a league that thrives on drama and on a team in particular that always seems to be at the center of it? Let's go to David on the cell next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, David?
Hey, how you doing, my friend?
Okay, how are you?
Hey, listen, two things. I love rooting for a team that's not my home team. When they play my home team, I root for my home team. Otherwise, Michael Jordan wouldn't have had no other fans.
Right, of course.
Stars. You know, here's the problem with this team. You go 4 years of just losing constantly as a coach. How do you turn it on now all of a sudden? How do you bring guys' spirits up when you was purposely keeping them down before making sure they lose? You know what I mean? I believe they need a coach in here that got some authority, got a championship behind him, somebody that a B can look down on. Because his problem is he ain't had no role models, no mentors, nobody to put him in his place when he got it. And that's what's hurting this team. And think about this. You had Shaq and Barkley, you know, talking real bad about them. And some of the stuff they said, I agree. But think about this. Shaq played, what, 16 years in the league? Why, he didn't know how to shoot a free throw.
Yeah, and he was practicing.
Why,
you're right.
Why did he tackle Shaq and he was a detriment to the game at the end?
True.
But he can comment on Charles Barkley breaking chairs, cursing the coach out. But he can talk about him. Them guys can't talk about him because their track record ain't that darn good either. You know what I mean? So for him, he just needs somebody to get in his face and calm him down on his own team, and we hope it ain't too late for him. And I don't see him no other way than what you described him as, somebody that's a mercenary. I'm here to make money.
Does that bother you?
Good. No, I just want him to play good on the court, and if they decide when his contract over whether to keep him or not, well, then he stays or he's gone. But I want him to put out why he's here. I don't want him to be making us lose games, and I can't boo him, and he talk back to me.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, so I think that you paid your money, David. As far as I'm concerned, thanks for the phone call, man. You can boo, you can cheer, provided everything's within the rules of the Wells Fargo Center. You can do whatever you want. That's why I'm surprised that a guy of Embiid's stature would be feeling the way that he does about everything here. Right? Like, here, the thing is that, like, when, and there are some other things that we can get to in this Marcus Hayes article, but, like, when it comes to Joel Embiid in particular, I don't know if it just gives us the warm and fuzzies that, like, he's a child of Philadelphia, like he's not from University of Kansas by way of Cameroon and, like, doesn't have any ties to Philadelphia outside of being drafted here. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know why there's this desire to, like, wrap our arms around these guys when, you know, it's more than likely you're seeing movement happen a ton. Do you really see Embiid as being a guy who's going to be here for, you know, 12 years? See anybody in the league that's sticking around with one team that long? Just doesn't usually happen. And so, like, if we can get past that emotional element to it, I actually think it's healthy. For example, like, let's shift away from Ben Simmons, for example, or from Joel Embiid to Ben Simmons, right? Like, I think that if we removed the emotion of this is our guy and people are getting after our guy because he's not shooting jumpers, blah, blah, blah. Like, if you can separate yourself from it, I think it's easier to say, all right, well, yeah, not shooting jumpers, that sucks. But, like, look at all the other things that he does, and you don't get so hung up on, oh, this guy has to shoot jumpers. When you look at what he does defensively, when you look at what he does from a rebounding perspective, when you look at what he does in a transition perspective, right, attacking the rim. Like, there are so many things that we could look at that if we weren't so emotionally invested in our guy will overcome and will do the thing that he's never done before. I don't know. Like, I think that we might actually have a more enjoyable fan experience. We might actually like it more long term if we're not obsessed with, you know, what these guys think of us. Joel Embiid shushing the fans, and Al Horford shushing the fans. I feel the same way as I do about your right to boo. You can do whatever they want. Doesn't bother me. I'd be surprised. I don't get why it bothers you. There were so many people calling in talking about how disrespectful it is to the fans and how these guys are never going to be winners. Why? Because they shush fans? I mean, you got players. You look over the history of the NBA at players who have not had good relationships with the media or good relationships with the fans and done just fine. You look outside of the NBA, you go to the NFL, you look at Major League Baseball. I mean, it goes on forever. The list of people that are described as prickly and had long, successful careers. The one that I bring up all the time is Jay Cutler. Nobody likes Jay Cutler. The fact that Kristen Cavallari is married to Jay Cutler is remarkable. Like, my wife watches that show on TV, and I'm like, why? I don't understand. I'm not saying that she's amazing either, but like, why Jay, right? Jay, bear with me, is the anti-Josh Freeman.
All right.
Josh Freeman stunk in the NFL, but Josh Freeman did all the right things, said all the right stuff in the media, was the leader, was an affable guy, was engaging with the fans, all that other kind of stuff, right? So people made every excuse for Josh Freeman for his entire career. He lasted 3 seasons, at least longer than he should have. Jay Cutler, people were trying to end Jay Cutler's career every like other offseason, being like, Jay Cutler's done, because nobody liked him. But Jay Cutler's talent was such that it didn't even matter. Doesn't matter that he's prickly. Doesn't matter that he doesn't like talking to the media. Doesn't matter that he doesn't like talking to the fans. All that kind of stuff, right? His personality, the smoking Jay Cutler thing, right? Didn't matter. He's so good that it just overwhelmed that completely. So in the end, at the end of the day, the perception of the fans or the media or whatever doesn't matter. Like, do you think T.O.'s relationship with the media hurts him anywhere other than Hall of Fame voting?
I would say no.
Exactly right, Nat. Exactly right. Just let people live, man. We don't need to be that up in their business. That's not just in sports, that's in life. Celebrity culture, everything like that. We all need to take a little bit of a step back from the screen. It's wonderful outside most of the time. It's raining now. But there's cool stuff. Look out the window. Hug your families. There's cool stuff going on. We get so hung up in this sometimes that the emotion that comes with rooting for a team, which, by the way, the passion is what makes things in sports great. But I'm saying that the shift needs to start happening because sports are shifting as well. Let's go to Joey in Philly next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Joey.
Hey, what's up, Joe Torti?
How you doing, man?
Good, man. I wanted to make two points. One, I want to touch on your comment about how superstars don't stay with their teams for 10 to 12 years. You're right about that, but there are two players in the league that I do see sticking with their teams and not going anywhere.
Okay.
And number one is Steph Curry. He's homegrown with Golden State. I see him retiring Warrior. I don't see that guy leaving.
Possible.
And that's actually why I respect him.
Yep.
And number two is James Harden, because he's as close to homegrown with Houston as you could get without actually being homegrown. You know, after OKC got rid of him, went to Houston, I don't see him leaving. I see him retiring as a Rocket.
That's a good one, too. Like you said, doesn't technically count because of the OKC stuff, but did find a home and chose to stick with it. It's possible that that lasts forever, too. Those are good points, Joey.
Really, those are the only two players that I do see stick with their teams for their career.
Mm-hmm.
So my next point is with Embiid and Benson. Number one, the shooting doesn't bother me at all. Embiid is Embiid. That's his personality. As long as he bowls out, I like that he's an antagonist and he likes to have fun. And we should be able to have fun back with him. I think that's what makes it special. He's a great talent. I don't mind the antics as long as he's balling out. But the issue I have is this. I feel like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid have the relationship of what Kobe and Shaq did, but without the championships. They're not going to win together. I don't think they could play together. I think that they're going to have the most success when they separate. That's how I really feel about these things.
So which one is here and which one is elsewhere?
If it were up to me,
yeah,
I keep Embiid and I let Ben go. If I had to choose, I keep Embiid, I let Ben go, and I build the offense through Embiid. And that's just my opinion. I think that they have the Kobe and Shaq kind of tone to the relationship. I don't see us winning a championship with both of them. I think it's going to come down to one of them having to go.
Joey, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. It's interesting because within the team, that also creates a different dynamic as well. And there are examples, pro and con, of, you know, overcoming questionable relationships on the team or having them kind of like eat locker rooms alive. We'll get into that next as well. 610-632-0975. This is the Joe Torti Show. We have wide open phone lines, so hop aboard so you can weigh in right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hoops, hoops, and more hoops. So many great college and pro games to bet on this time of the year. Plus, the March tournament is just around the corner. That's why you got to go with a sportsbook you can trust, Parx Casino. Look, it's no secret. I'm Philly proud. I love the home team. That's why I choose the home team at Parx Casino as my sportsbook of choice. They're right here in Bucks County, the only sportsbook run by the number one casino in all of PA. And there's so many ways to wager. Spreads, props, parlays, teasers, live in-game betting. Just download the Parx Casino sportsbook app now or go to parxcasino.com/PA. And use my promo code QB500 and get your first risk-free bet up to $500, which is refunded as a free bet and account credit. See website for details. Use my promo code QB500 and get your first risk-free bet up to $500. My sportsbook of choice should be yours, too. Parx Casino and Sportsbook. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Want to learn how to be a real player in the esports world? Come out to Nerd Street this Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Path to Pro Pep Rally. If you are a fan of the Overwatch League and you think you or your kids have what it takes to be a gaming pro, this is the event for you. You have a chance to meet some esports executives from Nerd Street, World Gaming Network, and even some players from the Houston Outlaws and Philadelphia Fusion. That's the Path to Pro Pep Rally this Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. at Nerd Street, 908 North 3rd Street in Northern Liberties. The event is free. See you there. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. You can also reach out on Twitter at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. Pretty rough on the rest of this Marcus Hayes article. Let me just share some with you, right? So we were talking about how Joel Embiid and Sixers players, and really it's not just the Sixers, players across sports are just so mercenary now, and it's just natural as player movement increases that you can either be, you know, a fan of a star and follow them throughout their entire career everywhere they go, or you can be a fan of a team, and, you know, you kind of see players come and go over the course of, you know, shorter and shorter time periods now than there have ever been. Here's what happened, Coach, and this is what Marcus Hayes is saying after Brett Brown said, I will speak with Joe to learn what actually happened. Here's what happened, Coach. Joel Embiid showed himself. He is not the sort of beacon of hope that Philadelphia wanted him to be. He never has been. Remember those tears wept in the tunnel in Toronto last spring after the 4-bounce Game 7 playoff exit? They've been analyzed and determined to be Cameroonian crocodile. In the fans' defense, 7 years of the same old empty promises can make people itchy. Embiid's overhyped Sixers occupy the 5 seed in the East with 28, now 27 games to play, so they might not even host a playoff series. He's the logical target of their torment. That's because he's the centerpiece of the controversial rebuild that now has taken 7 seasons and likely will take 7 more. Wow. So it goes on, and if you want to check it out, go ahead and check it out and say there's a lot more than that. Kind of getting after Joel Embiid for, you know, just the idea that the persona that a lot of people expected from Embiid or think of when they think of Joel Embiid isn't necessarily factual. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. Like I said, I don't know who Marcus Hayes is talking to or what he's experienced, what his time with Joel Embiid has yielded or whatever. But either way, it does make me question whether it's important that we have like sports heroes anymore versus team success. Like, for example, I'm thinking about during the Super Bowl, right? What do you think Brandon Graham's relationship with the fans was like for his entire career? Right? Brandon Graham was destroyed in this city for the crime of not being Earl Thomas. It doesn't get a whole lot more unfair than that. Like, that is just about as unfair as it gets. People being upset with Brandon Graham because the Eagles did not draft Earl Thomas. And then, of course, there's Brandon Graham had beef with sports radio in this town, including this station, right? Thank you, 97.5, that whole thing, you know? And yet, goes, wins the Super Bowl, makes a big play in the Super Bowl with the game-sealing sack of Tom Brady, and all of a sudden it doesn't matter. Like, that whole history is erased. It's erased to the point where Brandon Graham, when people talk about, oh, you run people out of this city, Brandon Graham re-upped for a lot of money. I'll give you that. But he re-upped here in Philadelphia. If the torturous experience is that bad, then he wouldn't come. Right? If athletes truly don't enjoy things, they don't go. Remember when everybody said that Cliff Lee was going to the Yankees? And then the story comes out that Yankees fans were brutal to Cliff Lee's wife in the stands. Yeah, you don't come back from that stuff. So none of it was that bad for Brandon Graham to the point where he was like, you know what? I can't be here anymore. I've got to go to Arizona. I've got to go to Tampa Bay or wherever else former Eagles go to die, right? Like, never got that experience from Brandon Graham. Jimmy Rollins got it from the fans constantly. Jimmy Rollins, who, by the way, you know that Utley, Rollins, Howard triumvirate, where Rollins is like decisively the best out of those three, like objectively and obviously the best. Yeah, he's the one who got the most crap out of the three of them from fans all the time. Oh, Jimmy doesn't hustle enough. He shouldn't be leading off. Why is he trying to hit all these home runs? Blah, 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 right? And yet, he was an integral part, the straw that stirred the drink of the World Series team. Winning cures it all. That's what it comes down to. We can't be worried about what players think of us or really what we think of the players. The only thing that matters, the only thing that makes a difference historically, the only thing that'll last is, can the player help you or can the player not? Can you win or not? Thanks to the player. And believe me, it is super strange that this has come to pass, because it wasn't always like this, right? But even Allen Iverson goes to different teams. Even LeBron James goes to different teams. Even Michael Jordan goes to different teams, right? This idea that we have to identify with an athlete, I think those days are over. You know, and it's not just a media narrative, right? Charles Barkley said, I'm not a role model. And then LeBron James did the same thing, right? I'm not a role model. How come we don't listen? 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. You shouldn't have to be, right? Like, think about who you want your role models to be for your kids or your family, right? Hopefully you could be a role model for your family. Maybe your parents. Maybe first responders, cops, firefighters, whoever it is, people in your community, people in the military, right? Like, you know, heroes. Not that important that sports stars are role models now, especially if they don't want to be. It's okay. Doesn't mean that they can't help your team win championships. The only thing that matters is results. If Joel Embiid's going to put up a triple-double or he's going to go, you know, 26-12 or whatever after getting booed and then he shushes the crowd on the way, that should happen every game. Boo Joel Embiid every game, have him show up and ball out, and then shush the crowd. You think it doesn't matter? Ben Simmons wasn't even in the Nets series last year until you got after him. Wasn't even in it. Then you get after Ben Simmons, and people are like, oh man, Philly fans are so tough. Yeah, but watch. Simmons responded. I don't think it has to be all that complicated. Results are the only thing that should matter to you as a fan. And quite frankly, results really matter for players too when you're talking about contract incentives and negotiating the next deal and endorsements and all this other kind of stuff, right? Nobody's endorsing a loser. Mickey in Fishtown's next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mickey?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about all the negative attention that's been brought to Joel Embiid.
Sure.
And the booing, you know? You know, we booed Mike Schmidt, we booed Jimmy Rollins, we booed Ryan Howard, we booed Carson Wentz even, you know, you know, for him to respond in such a way, I think a lot of the fans, reaction is an overreaction, and as a city, we tend to overreact.
So are you saying that he should not have been booed?
Well, I mean, I don't disagree that he should have been booed because it's, you know, there's games where he looks like sluggish and just oafs down the court. And, you know, it's unacceptable. And I think, you know, as Philly fans, we know how great he can be. And, you know, we expect that.
I agree with you completely. So where's the overreaction then in this case?
Well, the overreaction is like I think it's more on his part, you know, in gotcha. The whole Miami and Jimmy Butler, you know, tweet thing, and it's the kind of thing where sometimes you wish the guy would just play basketball and not worry so much about social media.
Yeah, well, and Mickey, thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. I think that part of that, this is what I'm saying, is our problem, right? Isn't it easy to see Embiid, like, sitting back and just being like, all right, watch this. I'm going to tweet something, or I'm going to put something on Instagram. I'm going to change this geotag. We're going to put the googly eyes here, and the world just explodes. Don't you think that's, like, a part of it? You know, if we didn't get hyped up about that, then maybe it doesn't matter. Nobody trolls anybody because they don't get a reaction. The whole reason that internet trolls exist are for people to react.
Exactly.
My I don't block very many people. You have to do something like literally heinous to get me to block you. But my mute list is extensive. Trolls. No response. If I don't want to hear it anymore, I do the equivalent of walking away from the conversation. Right? Mute. Boop. Person might as well not exist. But if I react and I get frustrated, I say, oh, why'd you say that, blah, 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 then all of a sudden you're lending credence, you're encouraging it, because a lot of times people just want a reaction. Joel Embiid lives for the reaction. Named himself the process. Look, all I'm saying is there's way too much stuff that doesn't matter that we're focused on and that players are focused on. We can both do a little bit better in that regard, right? 610-632-0975. Two open phone lines. Going to get to all your calls next. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What up?
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show. 97.5 The Fanatic, hanging out until midnight. Nat Marlowe producing. As we continue to discuss the Sixers' second half push and whether the drama Shushgate even matters. I'm sorry, it's very unsports talk radio of me to say that it doesn't, but I can't lie to you. I'm sorry. The easy thing to do would be to lay out this narrative where the fans versus Embiid and the fans versus Horford is going to be the story in the second half. And unless that relationship is mended, there's just no way that this team can make the postseason. It's just not true. It really isn't. Like, you look over the course of sports history, there have been all kinds of player versus coach, player versus player, player versus owner, player versus fan, coach versus owner. Doesn't matter. If you're good enough, you can get it done and you can win, right? 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation, right? Shaq and Kobe is a great example. Somebody brought up earlier, right? Not big fans of each other. Find a way to get it done and you get it done, right? This is going to shock a lot of people. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick do not have an excellent relationship.
That is correct.
They're not massive fans of each other. Two big reasons why. One is obviously the gradual resentment buildup of could Tom do it without Bill and could Bill do it without Tom, right? So each finds their legacy questioned by some people because they've always been together. And then, of course, there's the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, which is literally the thing that sunk the Patriots franchise. The fact that Bill Belichick did not want to trade Jimmy G. Tom Brady and Robert Kraft did. Overruled, et cetera, et cetera. The rest is history, right? You find a way to coexist. You find a way to make it happen. You find a way to win championships. That's it. It's either can you or can you not? And that's the question kind of facing the Sixers here. Let's go to Andrew in Ocean City, Maryland next on The Fanatic. What's up, Andrew?
Hi, Joe. How are you doing tonight?
Awesome. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Not much to talk a little Sixers. Gonna move the conversation away a little bit, if you don't mind. Just thinking ahead of the playoffs a little bit while we have some time during the break. Right now, I'm just kind of thinking, you know, when it comes to playoffs, Brett Brown said we were built for it. And I can understand. I think there's another level that we haven't hit that we can definitely reach, that we're capable of reaching. I think, obviously, the refs hold the whistle a little bit more in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I think we can get away with a little more physicality. And I think we're more well-equipped in the defensive end to handle those water bug point guards and smaller guards that have given us a lot of trouble in the past. We have some smaller guys and good wings that we can throw on them, all kinds of waves of length and whatnot. So with that in mind, I'm just kind of thinking ahead of the playoffs. Couple questions. How far do you think that we can realistically move up in the standings? And what teams would you like to see? And what teams do you think would give us more fits? Obviously, the Bucks are cream of the crop right now. But of Miami, Indy, and Boston, who are, I think, our three, you know, main competitors that are sitting ahead of us in the standings, what do you think we can do with those teams? And who would you want to see? Who do you want to miss? First round, second round.
Sure.
How do we stack up?
Sure. And Andrew, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. A couple things. First, Before that, the question is what role is Al Horford going to have on this team, right? Is he going to be a guy who comes off of the bench for the regular season, because regular season basketball is one way, and then you bring him in the postseason, and like your original situation, your original starting five is kind of the way that you go in the postseason? That is, you know, a worthwhile question to ask. You're only two games behind the Heat for the fourth spot. I think that that's well within reach. I think that the Heat are going to kind of be leaking oil here a little bit with the Butler injury as well. They're just 5-5 in their last 10, same as the Sixers. Indiana Pacers with a big win tonight. Now they are two games back of the Sixers. Let's talk about teams that not that you'd want to face, but teams that are okay to face. I am okay with facing Brooklyn. I'm okay with facing Boston. And I'm okay, obviously, it's not going to happen, okay with facing Orlando. I'm not psyched to play against Indiana. I've talked about that before. I don't think that that's an excellent matchup for the Sixers. If Miami is at full strength, I'm not stoked about that matchup either. I like the way that the Sixers match up against Boston. I've always liked the way that they match up against Milwaukee, even though the last time that they faced off was not pretty for the Sixers. I do think that they're a team that's built specifically to contend with Milwaukee. The team that I don't understand at all is the Toronto Raptors. Like, I just don't get that team. I don't understand. I've laid out that they have the literal heart of a champion kind of situation going, where it's just a veteran-laden team, won last year, was told that they were never going to be able to win. Well, they've ripped off 15 in a row. So, I don't know what to think about that team, who they are come playoff time. I do think that the Sixers can pass the Heat. If you got home court advantage against the Heat, then that's probably good for you. Heat are just 13-15 at home. It's better than the Sixers, but not like dramatically better than the Sixers. It's not the Bucks, who are 21-5 on the road. So there you go. There's kind of the playoff primer as far as I see it. 610-632-0975. Bill in Fishtown's next on the Fanatic. Hey, Bill.
Yo, what's going on?
How you doing?
You know, I always told my kids, if they're going to pick a hero, it's Joe Torty.
That's terrible advice, Bill.
No, I'm just messing. So, you know, I wanted to call yesterday. I just didn't get the time to do it. I was listening to the radio. I was listening to the morning show. And somebody called in, dead serious. You know, first of all, everyone's calling in, you know, they want to trade Embiid, you know, and you know, it gets me, it's 85% of the people that say they want to trade Embiid, when you tell them you can't because the trade deadline's over, they go, oh. So that tells me right there they don't know a lick of what they're talking about, right? So this guy calls in yesterday, he wants to trade Embiid for Porzingis, and I mean, he's dead serious.
For Porzingis, and, okay.
Yeah, like, you got to be joking with me, right, dude?
What?
Like, I mean, yeah. It's people, they just get so crazy over the social media stuff with athletes and throwing that it's like they fall for it. And that's half the joke right there. Like, this guy, you know, he told people he killed a lion at 6 years old. Like, you know, he's going to say some crazy stuff.
Right. Yes.
You know, it's just social media makes it even more ridiculous anymore than from when I was a kid. But I could imagine, you know, if Mike Schmidt would have had social media back in his day, you know, it might have been a little bit different. He had the best quote when it comes off. The throw having a great game and agony of reading it the next day.
Well, I mean, Bill, I got to ask you about the social media part of it. Is that on Embiid for saying stuff like crazy stuff on social media? Or is it on us for like burning the city down every time Embiid follows a new player on a different team on Instagram or whatever?
It's on us because, you know, it's like, you know what he is. You know what I mean? Like, you know he's going to do things to get a reaction out of people.
Yeah.
You know, it's, people are just, I don't know if it's like they hear themselves speak or if it's something else, but they just go crazy when they have a, you know, when an athlete in the city does something that they don't agree with.
Well, you know, Bill, lots of people, and thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Lots of people love the moral high ground. That's what it is. Lots of people like to say, hey, look at how right I am and how wrong everyone else is.
Correct!
And if you don't fit into my definition of right, you are wrong! Yeah, I don't go for that. It's not my my cup of tea. But it's very 2020, after all. Lots of people that are very eager to tell you all of the things that you're doing wrong in your life without examining theirs. So if you're going to get on Joel Embiid, and look, do whatever you want. Let me preface all of this by saying, but do whatever you want. But if you're going to take any of my advice, if you're going to get that amped up about what a dude does on social media, the rest of the consequences are kind of on you after that. Because Embiid's been here. He's been doing the same stuff, as Bill just laid out. It's up to you whether you take the bait. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Reach out on Twitter as well, at Joe Torti, at 97.5 The Fanatic. I do see the tweets coming in. I will get to you guys in a matter of moments. We've got an extended commercial-free segment next, so if you're on the line right now, guaranteed you'll be in before the next commercial break when we return. It is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.